in the Rasha that Yehuda gives to Yosef, arguing out the case why he should give Binyamin a break, why he should let him go free. So he says he can't take Binyamin. If Binyamin is going to leave the father, he's going to die. So either in two interpretations, the Ibn Ezra quotes whether Vameis goes on the father or Vameis goes on Binyamin. Who's going to die exactly? So the Ibn Ezra poses a kasha that the Gemara only had. Gemara and Yuma speaks about five psukim that are unclear how to interpret. The Chomish Mikra Shein Lahem Hechreya. The Gemara has five psukim where there's a word in pasuk, you're not sure whether to read it like this or to read it like that. So he asks, why didn't the Gemara mention this pasuk as well? This pasuk is also pretty unclear. The Azavis Avi Vameis, whether Vameis goes on the father or Vameis goes on Binyamin. And he poses such a similar question regarding the pasuk in Megillas Ruth, that it says, V'shalop ishnalav in Asan Reyehu, and the Gemara in Perek HaZohav has the Machlekes Tamarayim, whether who me nasan ani, whether you kind of, that pasuk speaks about chalitin, that's the institution of Kinyan Suda, the Makar in the Tanakh of Kinyan Suda. So the Gemara has the Machlekes Rav Levi, whether the Kelev Shal Kaina or the Kelev Shal Machmes. So who gave the Nal to whom? Did Boaz give it to the Goel, or did Goel give it to the Boaz? So the Ben Ezra has the same kasha over here, he has the same kasha in that. Machloikis, how come the Gemara in Yuma didn't mention that among the Pesukim Shein HaMachoyah? So I saw Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky say, he writes that he thinks that the Teretz is Pashin. And the Gemara in Yuma, where they listed off the five Pesukim Shein HaMachoyah, you have a word in the Pasuk like Mishukadim. So you're not sure whether to pause before the word Mishukadim or to pause after the word Mishukadim. Or, Hincha Shechem Avistecha Bekom Ha'om Hazeh Bezana. So whether the kum goes in the Sheikh Mabasek of the kum, you're going to die, you're going to have Tchias HaMeisim. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to have Tchias HaMeisim. Or no, in the Sheikh Mabasek of semicolon, the kum ha'mazeh bezona. So the Gemara is mesupik, where to pause in the pasuk, and it should make an afkanina of what the trop should be. Whether you pause before that word, or you pause after the word. But here, there's no suffix in how to read the pasuk, pausing wise. It's a suffix how to interpret the pasuk. Every pasuk in Chumash, this is a machlek, is how to interpret the pasuk. What even has you get excited? I mean, he's quoted two psukim in the whole Tanakh. But Meis over here, and one pasuk in Rus. When we learn Gemara every day, there's a machlek, is Tanoim and Amorim, Mishan and Achrenim. How to interpret every word in every pasuk, whether it goes on this or it goes on that. So that's what he says. That's not the kavon of the Gemara with the Chumash, Mikro, Shein, Lai, Machreya. So he finally gives his whole drasha. Yehuda gives the whole drasha. So then the pasuk says, "Lo yachol Yosef lehisapek l'cholam yistovim alav." Finally, he feels that he has to reveal himself. So he says, "Ani Yosef, I'm your brother Yosef. Ha'oidav bichoy." The first question he asks is, "The father alive?" He keeps on asking, "Is the father alive?" They kept on telling him the father is alive. So why does he ask again, "Is the father alive?" He thought that maybe they were pulling his leg all along. Very strange. But shadoid ha'oidav bichoy. Then the pasuk says, "V'leyach lechel of la'anasos sekini v'halu mipanov." They couldn't; they were left speechless because they were so stunned that to see that this is Yosef, he's still alive. So the Medrash has a comment on it on this pasuk. "Oy lana miyamadin, oy lana miyamatechacha." Look, Yosef gave techacha to the brothers. Yosef is only a boss of Adam, and he gave techacha to the brothers. Kavachayim elosi lavam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to give techacha to us for all the chatayim that we did on the yamadin. And Yom HaTachacha, Kal V'chaimah, how embarrassed we will be. So the Meforshim Olei ask on that Medrash, that's a Gemara in the first Perek in Chagig, and the Medrash Rabbah has it over here. They ask, where do you see that Yosef said a word of Tachacha? He just said, Ani Yosef, Oid Avichol. Where was it Tachacha? So quite a few Meforshim assume, this is famous, the Beis HaLevi has this in the Seif HaChumash, and others, Chassidish Rabbeim, also give the same interpretation. He says, Ani Yosef, you keep on telling me that we're afraid the father's going to die. They're afraid of the old man. The father's going to die. So he says, I'm Yosef. How come you weren't afraid the father's going to die when you sold me? Is the father still alive? How come you weren't worried then? That was the chacha. That was the tachacha that he gave him. He's not asking, is the father alive? They told him every other sentence was the father's alive. Every time he meets them, he asks, is the father alive? They say, yeah. Shalom le'avdecha avinu. Odenokai is still alive. He's not asking a question, he was asking, why weren't you worried about whether the father's going to get a heart attack when you sold me? That was the tochacha that he gave. And then the Medrash continues, what's going to be when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will point a finger at us? We will certainly be dead embarrassed. And others interpret differently. Others interpret, Yosef didn't point any finger, how come he weren't worried then about the father? He just said, I'm Yosef, and he was crying, is the father still alive? That's all. He didn't give a word of tachacha, but that itself was the tachacha, that the emes became this gala, that he was alive, and then they understood what was going on, what the charade was the whole time, why he kept on asking, is the father alive, is Binyamin alive, he wants to see Binyamin. Everything now fit into place. So the Medrash just says, look what's going to happen, Losi Lava, and the Yom Adin, and the Yom Tachacha, the Rebbeinu Shalom is not going to point the finger, he's not going to say, why did you do this? He's just going to reveal himself and say, I'm the Rebbeinu Shalom, nice to meet you. And we're going to realize that there really is a God in the world. We always had stakes about it, because otherwise, why do we do Averis? If they really have a Munah Shalem, what are you doing Averis? You have a big Yetzirah. What do you mean you have a big Yetzirah? Let that person knows, in order to eat the Chazi, he has to jump over a cliff, and on the other side, and it's 20 feet, it's 20 yards. He doesn't stand the chance of jumping over. He's going to jump over in order to get the Chazi, in order to violate the Yisrael Chilul Shabbos or whatever. He knows there's Vaday Mabes. If you really have Emunah in the Rebbeinu Shalom, how do you do any Aver? The answer is when you do the Aver, you don't have Emunah. At that time, you don't have Emunah. So the Rebbeinu Shalom is just going to reveal himself. He's not going to point the finger, he's not going to wave a finger, he's not going to say what, he'll just reveal himself and the Yemus will be in his gala. And that'll be the Tachach like over here. Yes, it's just, that's how they say it from the Chafetz Chaim. I think the Chafetz Chaim has it in one of his drushes. He writes like that in his writings, he has like that. That Yosef just revealed himself, and that was the tachacha, so Lassi Lover, that's what's going to happen to us as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just reveal himself. Then Yosef tells the brothers, don't feel bad, even though you intended to kill me and to sell me and everything, that's okay. Atem chashavtem l'ro, l'kim chashav l'toivo, etc., etc. Don't feel bad, so the Rachaim HaKadosh has the kasha over here. The Mishnah says in Nazir that Niskaven Lechol Besar Chazir Alu Yoda Besar Tolet Tzarech Kapara. The pasuk says that if the wife took a neder and the husband was made for the neder, so the neder is not binding. So then the pasuk continues, Hashem Yisachlach. So Shabbahu will forgive the wife for violating the letter, for violating the neder. What do you mean? Forgive her for violating the neder. It's permissible to violate it. If the husband is made for the neder, there's no neder. So she doesn't need any forgiveness. She doesn't need any kaparas. What is that? Hashem Yisbach Lo. So the Mishnah in Nazir explains, the husband was made for the neder, but the wife didn't find out about it yet. She thinks that the neder is still betok, and she violated the neder thinking that she's doing a sin, that she's doing wrong, she's doing an avera. And then it turns out later that the husband had already been made for the neder before the time that she had violated the neder. So strictly speaking, she was niskabin lasos avera, chishiv lasos avera venenas, v'lo yasos avera. Turned out that there was no avera. So the Mishnah says, you learn out from this, you derive from this passage this principle, Niskaven Lechol Besar Chazir, for all of the other Besar Talet, Tzorech Kapor. So how does Yosef tell the brothers, don't feel bad? Al Teyotzva, Al Yicha Ben Echem, don't feel bad. It doesn't count, doesn't matter, nothing matters over here. You intended Lero, Alekim Chashov, Aletoivo, etc., etc. What do you mean? But they still need a Kapor. They intended Lero. If they intended Lero, so they plan to do an Aver. So the Mepharshim suggests a difficult answer, that maybe there's a difference between Avera Shebin Adam LaHaverai as opposed to Avera Shebin Adam LaMakom. There is a din of Misasek. The din of Misasek means if a person does a Mais Aver, he doesn't even realize that it has the conditions of the Aver. Let's say a person goes to a kosher restaurant and he eats a fleishig meal and he drinks this delicious new flavored drink that they have, and then the Mashgiach runs out from the kitchen and he tells him after he finishes eating that we made a mistake, that we gave you dam to drink, and you were eating chelov. He ate chelov and dam. He didn't realize that it was trait. He thought that everything was kosher. He thought that everything was under hashgacha. So this should really be mistasek. So the din is that in kol ha-tarakula, mistasek is not even chai v'chatas, with the exception of chalov ma'arai shekeinu henna. That's an exception to the rule, that in this case, he's chai v'shtayim. He's chai one chatas for the chelov, one chatas for the dam. Because the Shemus Mechlok and the two different Yisurim, despite the fact that it was Misasek. But in Kol HaTarakula, when you don't have that consideration of Misasek, we usually assume Taisus assumes like that. But in Kol HaTarakula, Misasek is Pater from Chatas with the exception of Chay Levedam. So why is that? Because there wasn't even Kavanas Asi. He didn't even intend to do an Aveira. There was nothing at all. The exception to the rule you find by Golus. It says a person goes into the Yar Lach of Eitzim to chop down trees in order to use the logs. The Nitra Yoda Bagarzin, and somebody gets killed, so he has to go into Golus. So why does he have to go into Golus? The Chidush Aran and Sanhedrin, in the Sugya Retzeach, he has to ask, why does he have to go into Golus? It's Mamish Misasi. He had no Kavanah Sasir, or he intended to chop wood. And then it turns out that a totally different mitzvah happens, that somebody gets killed. He didn't intend at all that the hatchet should fall apart, that part of the tree should fly backwards, forwards. This wasn't his intention at all. So the Chiddush Aran says the answer is, whenever it's an issue of Binal Mahaveri, he can't use the principle of Nisasik to say that the mitzvah doesn't relate to me. Sof kol sof, the other guy got killed. Sof kol sof, the other person got injured, or he lost the hefsed mom, and the Mishnah says, that Adam Amazik is Chayiv, and the Gemara says, but if it's Ba'oinis, B'Shoigig, and so on, then he only pays Nezik. He doesn't pay Tzari, B'Shevis, B'Shevis. So the Nezik you pay, by Choyvel B'Chaber, by Mazik, Mamon Chaber, you pay the Nezik, even if it's a case of Misasik. You still have to pay. Just like Misasik is not a mitigating consideration by Golus, so Misasik doesn't pater from Tashlum and by Chovel Amazik either. Because by Ben Adam Lachaveris, it all depends what the end result was. And that's a Tosefta that in Peya that points out that if a person has a hole in his pocket and some money falls through, and then after he walks away, a poor man comes in the street and picks up the money and he uses it and he enjoys the fact that he has the money. So the one who lost the money will get partial reward for the mitzvah of tzedakah. Why does he deserve any reward at all? The full reward for performing the mitzvah of tzedakah comes if you give the tzedakah out of your own free will. And if the money fell through your pocket and you didn't even realize it, but ultimately it ends up in the hands of a poor man and he's nana from it, then you get partial credit. You get partial reward for the mitzvah of tzedakah. This is learned out in the pasuk of Shikoh, that the farmer is doing his work, he's harvesting, he's making bundles and such, and then he forgot a bundle over there. And then later on, even after he reminds himself that he left the bundle there, then he leaves it. Then he doesn't go back. He should leave it there. So the mitzvah he fulfills, b'shevi al tasa, after he's aware that he left the bundle, he leaves it and he doesn't go back to take it. But at the time that he left the bundle there, it was totally in a state of shikha. So that the sefta learns that from that parsha of shikha, that by being out of machaber, to get reward for the fact that an ani was misparnes from your money, even though at the time that you did it, it was really the misasik. So that's what the Mefarshim say over here. Perhaps the difference is to be drawn between a mitzvah ben adam l'chaver as opposed to an avera, avera ben adam l'amaka in tzorech kaporas. Niskala lechol b'tzar chazir, all the other b'tzar tleh, the Mishnah says tzorech kaporas, but by an avera, she ben adam l'chaver, perhaps not. Why should it be so? Well, so of course, so he did intend to be mean to the other person. It's a difficult terror. The pasuk says that Yosef encourages the brothers to go tell the father. They should all, the whole family should come to Eretz Mitzrayim, because it's going to be another 5 years of famine. This was after 2 years of famine. And he says they should live in Eretz Goshen nearby. Why does he tell them to live in Eretz Goshen? Why don't they live mamish where Yosef lives? Why does he have a separation between them? Yoshapta the Eretz Goshen. But it wasn't really together. So in the Bnei Yisoschar, that's a Chassidish statement by Rav Pirsch Melech Wienerwerth. He has on his drushes of Hanukkah, famous piece. I think somebody said it over on Leil Hanukkah when we were all having the sleep it together. But on the dreidel it says Nun Gimel Shinhei. So some say that's what the Bnei Yisoschar says, that stands for Goshna. In the Chumash you have such a word, Goshna. What does that mean? That the Jews always have to be separate. Even in playing games and even in sports, they shouldn't participate in the Goshna sport, because over here you see in the park, Yosef had to live in the middle in Washington. Washington, D.C. had to live in a capital. He was running the whole country, so he had no brerus. He had to live together with all the politicians in the middle of the whole Tumas Mitzrayim. But he didn't want the family to live over there in the middle of everything. So he said, let them live in Goshen, in Eretz Goshen. Let them be separate. Apparently the Bitzrim didn't live in Goshen. So he said, let the Jews be separate. Let them have a separate location in Williamsburg. Let them live in a different location, not to live in the middle of Manhattan together with all the goods. Better idea is that they should live separately. That's how the Chafetz Chaim points out in one of his essays, that when the brothers finally come to Mitzrayim, so yes, he says he's going to have to introduce him to Paro. So it says he took Mikseachov Lakacha Mishon Hashim. Rashi says he took, Rashi quotes the Medrash, that he took the weaker brothers, because he was, and he said, when you come to Paro, don't tell him that you're computer experts, that you're doctors, that you're lawyers, that you're physicists and chemists, and you can solve all the world's problems. Don't tell him, just tell him that you're shepherds, so he'll let you alone, he'll leave you alone. Why didn't they tell him that they're computer wizards? They could have taken over the whole country. They would have made billions of dollars every year. They would have become multimillionaires. So the Chafetz Chaim says the answer is, because if you live in Williamsburg, if you live in Eretz Goshen, you live alone, separate from the Goyim, so you'll maintain your Yiddishkeit. It was a moifes that Yosef remained from, living together with in the middle of all the Tumas Mitzrayim. And that was the hispilus that Yaakov Avinu has. When the children tell Yankif that Yosef is still alive and he's still through him and he speaks Lashon Kodesh and he knows to talk about Egel Arufa and everything. And Bris Mila shows him his Bris Mila and says, it talks like a real Jew, like a Ben Torah. So Yankif Avinu was so surprised. Hoyd Yosef Chai. He was very surprised about that. He couldn't imagine that it's possible for a religious Jew to maintain his religious observance in the middle of Tumas Mitzrayim. It's a tremendous nisayon. So Yosef didn't want the brothers to go through that Nisayon. So he said, I tell you what, you all live in Eretz Goshen. When you come to Paro, don't tell him that you have all these talents, that you too can help him like I helped him. If you want, you can tell him that, and you'll also become big, he'll make a whole cabinet just me and you. We'll run the whole country, but I wouldn't recommend it. So he took those who looked like they were schleppy, those who looked the weakest looking, they were all very powerful. He took those who looked weakest, and he said, tell the Paro that you're a bunch of shepherds. So he won't be interested in giving you any top jobs. So that's how the Bnei Yisrael says, that the Bnei Yisrael have to be separate all the years of the Golus. We shouldn't strive to mix in with the Goyim. And even in sports, we should also be separate. They just figure, okay, our religious life, our studies, everything is different. But when you want to relax, so what's up there? So you go to the movies, kosher movies, so you go to a baseball game, so what's up there? So he says, no. When you play dreidel, the Bnei Yisrael says, when you play dreidel, you have on the dreidel the oisius of Goshna to indicate that even in sports and even in relaxation, you also have to be separate. Everything should be separate. That's why the Hasidim look so funny. They dress with different to God and different from everybody else. So they go with this attitude. You have to lead a separate life. The question is, we have to make a survey. Are their children maintaining religious observance more than the modern Orthodox children? Or is it just, do they have a higher percentage of success, or is it just that they have a higher percentage of children? They have more children than we do. Maybe they have the same success. Maybe they have the same percentage of fallout from religious observance, but just it's not so noticeable because they have so many more children. So we should make a study. I think the first way is the correct way. I think they have a higher percentage of success with maintaining religious observance by their children. They may be now in a crisis. That people are talking about, could be that the Chassidish community is a crisis because it is hard to maintain your separate position. But in theory, that's what the Chafetz Chaim was not a Chassidish. Chafetz Chaim says like that. The Bnei Soskel was a Chassidish. He recommends like that. But that's perhaps the pshat that he says, you're shaft the Beretz Goshen Korvei Lai. Not going to be right around the corner. It's a few hours trip away from Yosef. He doesn't want them to be in the middle of Eretz Mitzrayim. He wants them to have their own separate area. Others suggest a different type, why he had them all in Eretz Goshen. Why not Mamish down the block? So they quote from the Rosh in the first Perek in Kiddushin that the Gemara has the Shaila of Kibbud Aviyem. Kibbud Aviyem requires that the son should stand up out of respect for the father when the father walks into the room. Then the Gemara in the same sugya of Kibbud Aviyem talks about Kvot Talmid HaChacham, that you have to stand up when the Talmid HaChacham walks in. So the Gemara has the Shaila, what's the din if the son becomes a big Talmid HaChacham? And the father sits and goes to the son's shir. So the father becomes a Talmud of the son. Does the son have to stand up for the father? Does the father have to stand up for the son? So it's a discussion in the Gemara. So the Maharam Rutenberg is quoted there by the Rosh as having had a very strange practice when he became very famous. When he became world famous, and they were sending him shilas from all over, and he was much more learned than his father, much more respected than his father, so he moved away. He didn't want to be near his father because of this issue. He didn't know whether he should stand up for the father should stand up for him. So that's what others suggest over here, that Yosef was an international figure in politics. He was an internationally famous person, and he would be getting all the covered malachim. And Yaakov Avinu was an unknown person in Mitzrayim. And Eretz Canaan, they all knew Yaakov Avinu, a holy tzaddik. But he left Eretz Canaan. He went to Mitzrayim. So Yosef was perhaps afraid that he wouldn't be given, Yaakov Avinu wouldn't be given the cover that he deserved. Or perhaps he was afraid that Yaakov would have a chalishas hadas. Why they're showering so much cover, the gedula, on Yosef and not on him? Yaakov knows that he is much greater than his son Yosef. Yosef is a wonderful tzaddik. He was stood all in Mitzrayim. It's unbelievable with Eishes Potiphar and everything. In such a foreign society, and he was the only Jew. He had no support system over here. He was the only one there, and then, nonetheless, he succeeded in maintaining his religious observance. Yeah, that was a mitzvah, but still, Yaakov Avinu was on a much higher madrega. He wasn't one of the others. Yaakov was one of the others, stuff. So either because Yosef felt that it would be very noticeable that they're not giving the proper cover to Yaakov, by contrast. They're giving him all the cover, they're not giving Yaakov, or perhaps he was afraid that Yaakov would have a chalishas hadas, seeing that that he's getting so much cover. So perhaps that's the reason why he didn't have the whole family live right around the corner, right down the block. He said, let them live in Eretz Goshen. Whatever the reason is, that's what it says. He had them all move to Eretz Goshen, not right near him. Then the pasuk continues to say, all of a sudden, he gives everybody a new suit, and Binyamin, he gives 5 suits. I don't know, when my son comes to visit me, I don't give him suits. I give him sarim. He buys his own suits. I give him other things. We give him gifts. We give him jewelry for his wife. We give all kinds of things. You give suits to people. What's that design your farm? Why did he decide to give them suits over here? So the Rishonim say, because they just tore their jackets. It says in last week's Sefer, when they heard that they're all under arrest. When they heard that the Yemen was under arrest, what's going on now? So it says they all ripped Kriya. So they're walking around with the torn jackets. So the Rishonim say, they have it in 2 different variations. So some Rishonim say that he felt he's chayif to pay Medina de Garmi, Grama ben Azik and Chay Medina Shammai, not Dina de Garmi. He knew, Yosef knew the whole thing was a fake. He knew he's not going to kill Binyamin, he's not going to torture Binyamin. He knew that they didn't know. So he should have realized in advance that they're going to do something drastic, and so they ripped Kriya. So he indirectly was responsible for their torn jackets. So maybe he felt responsible to pay them, so he gave them the new jackets, the new suit. Other Rishonim say they word it differently. They say they felt humiliated. They're walking around with torn jackets. Everybody else is walking around normally, and they're walking around with torn jackets. So he felt bad for them. So he gave them, said, okay, change your clothes. Here are some of the goggles. I saw Tzipesa Frank quote the name, I think the name of Chaim Balim. That was the son of the Netziv. He moved to Eretz Yisrael the Seif Yom. So he quotes an interesting comment that by the begodim, by the jackets that he gave all the brothers, so it says he gave them chalifos molov, chalifos mole with a vav. And by Binyamin it says he gave him 5 suits, chamesh chalifos molov. The word chalifos is chosavos. How come here it's chosim and here it's molim? The Gemara sometimes is indict that. How come you have in the same pasuk, the same word appears twice, once molim, once chosim? So he says, Rav Chaim Balim made a suggestion based on the Rashi on Chumash Mois, that it says, Shnei Luchos, by the Luchos Habris, by the Aseret Hadibris, it says, Shnei Luchos chosavos, Luchos, Lamet Ches Tav instead of Lamet Ches Vav Tav. In the plural, the Rashi quotes from the Medrash that they were Shneim Shavim, they were both the same size. If they would have been different sizes, so then it would say Luchas Mole. Now that it says Luchas, so it sounds as if it's only one Luach, it was really 2, because they were both identical. So that's what Rav Chaim Balim said over here. Each one of the brothers had a different size. They weren't all like cookies that you make in a mold. Each one, some brother was taller, some were shorter, some were fat, some were thin. Each guy had a different size. Long arm, short arm, tall neck, short neck. So each one had to have a different size beggar. So it says each brother got chalifos, smolos, chalifos, smolos, that each suit was a different size. But he gave five suits to his brother Binyamin. Binyamin was one person, so all the five suits were the same size. So that's why it says Chalifos Chaser, because all of them were shoven. That's what Rav Chaim Berlin suggests. An interesting power. Then the pasuk says that Yosef sent a ton of food back to Eretz Canaan, that they should have food to give to the children before everybody comes. So it says, what did he send? They were carrying bor v'lechem u'mazon. So bor, pashup shat, means the kernel, the grain. The kernels are grain. And lechem is bread. U'mazon, so what does mazon mean? All other food. Pashup shat means all other food. So the Torah Tmima quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi on Adorim. There's a Mishnah in Adorim that says, Hanoidem in Amazon, if a person takes a neder, it says, Benadon halach achalosh miniyot. You always have to interpret the neder based on the common usage. What do people mean when they say that word? So it says in the Mishnah, Hanoidem in Amazon, if a person takes a neder, he's not going to eat mazon. He's not allowed to eat any food in the world except for muta b'melachu b'mayim. Water and salt don't give any nutrition, and all other foods that give some nutrition, that have calories, that are helpful for the body, everything else is called mazon. The Gemara, so the Talmud Yerushalmi says, where do you see a makan and chumash that this is so? Even though a makan and chumash is not going to help, because loshen tar lechud veloshen merin adam lechud, it's not necessarily a raya, but we spoke about it the other day. Whenever there's no raya, it's hakeret, so we assume that whatever it says in the Chumash, Mustama, that's going to be Lashem El, let the Abai Chochet, that it's not so. So the Yerushalmi brings the Raif in this passage that it says they carried bor v'lechem, they carried bread, and bor is the grain to make flour, if they want to make cookies, whatever they want to make, and mazon means all other foods. And you see that the word mazon applies to everything else in the world. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a psak from the Chayyodim, that let's say a person by mistake says the wrong bracha. The person says, bor pri ho'etz on a vegetable. So you're not yotzei. Or let's say you say bor pri adama on a bottle of soda. So you're not yotzei. It's not pri adama. The Mishnah says if you say bor pri adama on a fruit, so you are yotzei, because the fruits grow on trees which grow from the ground, so that's also called bor pri adama. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So the Chayyodim is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah as saying that what if by mistake a person on cookies and on Wheaties, he say bor pri adama. What if the person is having ice cream and he says bar minim zayin, or he's having something else, fruits, vegetables, anything else, any other food, and he says bar minim zayin by mistake? So the Chayyodim says that the Yevid one is yotzei, because you see from the Mishnah hanoidem and amoz, and everything is included except for mayim and melach. If a person will say bar minim zayin is amayim or melach, then the Chayyodim says he will not be yotzei, because the Mishnah says that's not included. So this is really a questionable comment that the Chayyodim made. Others dingzach with the Chayyodim, because when the Mishnah says that if you say bari prihu adama on fruits that grow on a tree, you yotzei, the pashtus is that the Chachamim were mesaken bari prihu adama and anything that grows from the ground. And anything that grows on a tree, said they were mesaken a bracha yotzei mefuretus, to say a fancy your bracha. And on wine, the Mishnah says you really should have said bari prihu eitz, because mashkim ha'yetzim and ha'zeitim and ha'ndachim on wine and on olive oil, you should really have had to say bar pri ho'etz. Because the mashkim ha'yetzim and ha'zeitim and ha'ndachim are dinim kimpri. So it should really be bar pri ho'etz. So the Mishnah says that's an exception to the rule. Then on wine, instead of saying bar pri ho'etz, you say bar pri ha'gofen. Well, what if the Yevid one would say bar pri ho'etz? So the pashtus in the Gemara is that you're yotzei. There's a thesis that says not so. But the pashtus in the Gemara is that one would be yotzei. Let's say one would say bar pri ho'adam on wine. But anything, since there was a basic, there was one takkan, he say shahakal on everything. So, but the Yevid didn't say shahakal on anything, he yotzei. Then the Chachamim were mesaken, say a bracha yotzei mefuretus. So on vegetables, they said, say bar pri hadama. That's more mefurat. If you didn't say the bracha mefuretus, you said shahakal. So that's the basic bracha that includes everything. So you'll be yotzei, but the Yevid with shahakal. I'll call them a bracha shahakal yotzei. We pass in even on yayin and even on pas. We pass even on pas v'yayin, also be the yevid, if one made a mistake and said shakal, he would be yotzei. So this thing that be the yevid, if he said huadoma on fruits that grow on a tree, he yotzei, that was the takanas chachamim. Like if he said bird pi ho eitz on wine. So the pashtus nigmar is the be the yevid, he yotzei. It just says that it has a brocha yotzei mefuretus, because it's more elegant, a michael, the wine, a mashkin, so you say bird pi hagofen. But the yevid didn't say, But over here, they were never mistaken bar mini mizainis on ice cream. In Lashem and Yadam, it fits in. Binadam halacha Lashem and Yadam. Yeah, it's true that the word mazon applies to everything in Lashem and Yadam except for mayim and melach, where it doesn't apply at all. But even though the word is not, it's not dovish garim, when he says bar mini mizainis on the ice cream, he's not on the apple or on the potato chips. Around the carrots. If he says very minimum zanis on anything, the lashon fits in. He's not a derbe sheker, but there never was a takanas chachamim to say that bracha. So that's the question: is that really so mukhrach that the chayyadim is right? So there's a gemara in brachas, but you have to learn. The gemara talks about people saying a totally different bracha, whether you yotze or not. So that's the question. And that gemara in the Dorim, the gemara is bothered with a kasha. Happened in Mishnah say that if a person takes a neder, that he's not going to eat mazon. Everything is included, except for mayim umelach. So the Gemara asks, but Rabbi Shmuel said that you only say barim minim zainis and chameshis minei dogon. It explains the bracha barim minim zainis never appears in the Mishnah. It's only Rabbi Shmuel. Mishnah has ha'adoma, has ha'eitz, ha'motzi lechem and ha'orik, bar pi ha'gofen, and shahakol. Never says barim minim zainis. Rabbi Shmuel damet travayu. Rabbi Shmuel says that you say bar minim zainis on Wheaties and on cookies and on cakes and on so on. So the Gemara asked the kasha, how come you only say bar minim zainis on cake and cookies and spaghetti and so on? But the Mishnah says that anoydem and amazon includes everything except for mayim and melech. So the Gemara gives an answer. The Gemara works on that kasha. So the Netziv has a comment in his Biur on the Shiltis that from that Gemara you see a pirche against the whole sefer of the Abu Dram. The whole sefer of the Abu Dram and the Ibn Yarchi, there are a few three svarim written by the Rishonim on the Siddur, on the Nusach HaTfilah. So the theme and the premise of all of the svarim that the Rishonim wrote was that all of the brachas were formulated v'loshan HaTanach. They're not supposed to be recited in colloquial Hebrew, not supposed to be recited in a Loshan HaYodam, supposed to recite brachas and tfilahs with a biblical Hebrew. So that's what the whole case is dedicated to find a mocker in Tanakh for every single phrase that appears in the Siddur. So all the Sukkot is Zimmer, that's straight from Tillim, that you don't have to have a mocker. That's in Sefer Tillim. Baruch Shama, Yishtabach, Yer Teror, Yishman Esri, and so on. Whatever the Anusach HaTzila, Brocha, Shetik, Tanakh, Shiknes HaGdeilo. So that's what these Rishonim dedicated their Svarim to, the Ibn Yarchi with the Avodrom and other Svarim, to show what the mocker is in Tanakh. So the Netziv has a kasha against this whole premise. He thinks that they're all wrong. The whole premise is wrong. That's assumed to be correct. All the poskim assume like that. The tefillos and brachas are supposed to be b'loshan HaTanakh. So the Netziv kind of said it's not so, because when the Gemara asked the kasha, how come you say bar minim zanis only on cake and cookies, if the Mishnah says that anoydim and amazon includes all foods except for mayim and melach? So what was the kasha? The Gemara should have given a teretz that the brachas have to be b'loshan HaTanakh, and the biblical Hebrew, the word mizonis only applies to chameshes minei dogon, as opposed to b'nedorim halachach loshim liyadim. Loshim liyadim, the word mazon has a different meaning. So Tanis, and the fact that the Gemara held that it's a theory, you see that the brachas are supposed to be recited b'loshim liyadim. That's what the Netziv Tanis. So others say no. Perhaps the Babli is also assuming like the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi on that Mishnah, when the Mishnah says Hanodim and Amazon, so everything is included except for Mayim and Melach, so the Yerushalmi, the Torah Tzimur quotes, the Yerushalmi says the mocker of that is based on this pasuk, even though Loshem Tor Lechud, Loshem and Yodim Lechud, it's not necessarily a raya, but the Rishonim say whenever there's no Hechokha that it's not so, you always assume the Stoma that biblical Hebrew is the same as the spoken Hebrew, unless you have a raya that it's not so. So here, perhaps that's what the Babli was assuming also, like the Rishonim, when the Mishnah says Hanodim and Amazon, everything is included, it was based on this pasuk in Tanakh. So that's why the Babli asked the kasha, since the Loshem and the Yodim is based on the pasuk in Tanakh, and you see that in biblical Hebrew the word Mazon includes all foods, so why shouldn't you say Barim and Mizainis on all foods? Why do you only say Barim and Mizainis on Chamesh Yismini Dova? It means all other foods. Mazon means that it's a generic term. That means all other foods. It's not a specific food. Mazon doesn't mean a specific food. That's the shaila. That's the shaila. Rashi quotes in the Medrash, "Vatzchi ruach Yaakov avihem the shorsa all of Shechina, shorsa all of ruach hakodesh." That all the years that he was in a state of avelus over his son, tirshehem enu Shechina. Because the Gemara says the Shechina is only shayra mitach simcha. Ena Shechina shal Gemara Bracha says the Shechina is not shayra mitach atzvus or mitach atzlus. If a person is lazy, or if a person is sad, or miserable, or too serious is also not good. You have to be happy go lucky. Then you'll be zeicha tashuras hashchina. So now that he was happy again, matzchi ruach yakim avim, it means hashuras olav hashchina. What happened? How did he know to believe them first? It says vayafuz libi kilo hemenhem. He didn't believe them. Then vayaris agalus hashalach yosef lasi saisa. When he saw the wagons, then he believed them. Why did he believe them when he saw the wagons? So Rashi quotes the famous comment from the Medrash that he told the brothers to tell a father that the last halach that he was learning with him was about Egla Rufa. So the Rishonim discussed it. Why was that so? Why should it be that the last halach was Egla Rufa? Why should that punct Egla Rufa, so to say? It wasn't that he was learning Egla Rufa. They were learning whatever they were learning. They were Mavis Sedra, Pashas Hoshavu, they were learning Dafyayim, whatever they were learning. But then the Medrash says, they could Rishonim, the Baal HaFes called the Medrash. The Medrash says that when Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef to see Lechna Reish Lamachecha, Shlomatzon, so Yankov was in Chevron, and he sent him from Emek Chevron. So he sent him from Chevron to go. So Yankov started walking with Yosef. They walked a little bit, and then Yosef said, "Okay, it's enough. You don't have to keep on walking. I'll go the rest of the way." The Yankov Avinu told him, "No, there's an Inyan of Leviya," and he started to tell him the story from Egla Rufa. It's not that they happened to be learning Egla Rufa; they were learning Baba Kama, Agitin, Daf Tehei, whatever they were learning that day. But then when he sent them, he was walking with him, he was baglating him. And Yosef said, it's not necessary, told the father, it's not necessary to walk so far. So he said, no, the Pasuk says that this is an institution of Egla Rufa. And then the Zekanim, the Bezdin from the city, who's bringing Egla Rufa, has to say, Yodeno l'shavcho sadam mezeh v'enenu l'ro, Mekalim say, kapal yam chesol shepadis Hashem. So the Mishnah comments on that Pasuk, Yodeno l'shavcho sadam mezeh, we didn't kill him. Of course they didn't kill him. That the Bezdin Ahorgim Nefashis, that they're Rotzchim, that they're murderers. That they have to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yadena L'Shavcha, we didn't kill him. And the Mishnah says, Elo, no, what it means is that they should say, Shalot Bolu Yadena V'lot Fatanu B'loi Lechem B'loi Leviyo. The Bezdin has to say, we're not to be held, don't hold us responsible for this guy. If he would have come to us, we would have given him food. We see the dead body now, we recognize him, he never came to us. If he would have come to us, we would have given him food, and we would have walked him part of the way. And the Gemara has a whole sugya in Perek Egla Rufa, in the end of Saita, about the importance of Leviya, to walk a guest. When you have a guest, you should walk him part of the way. It's more important to walk him part of the way if he doesn't know the neighborhood. That's for sure important. You've got to show him where the A train is, you've got to show him where the yeshiva is, or whatever. He doesn't know where to go. But even if he knows where he's going, it's still also an important inyan of Leviya. So that's why, Vayaris O'Agolus, he said this, the last thing I heard from my father was being malavim me a little bit from Chevron to Doison to go meet the brothers. So at that time I told my father it's not necessary, and the father told me the din of Egla Rufa, the limud of Leviya, the importance of Leviya from Egla Rufa. That's how a few Rishonim say like that, the Baalei HaTes. Plus it says that, Yaakov Avinu is going to have to go travel to Egypt now. The whole family is going to pack up. They went to Beersheva, and he brought Korbanos. What did he bring Korbanos all of a sudden? What's that, this Lelekei Aviv Yitzchok? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Lelekei Aviv Yitzchok teaches us Chayvara Mikvod Aviv Yosef Mikvod Zekeinoi. Why does it say Lekei Aviv Yitzchak? Why not the Lekei Avi Aviv Abraham? It was the same God. He's not going to say Lekei, the father, the God of his great-grandfather Terah. So he was an Eved Avodah Zarah. But his father's God and his grandfather's God was the same. Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Eka. That's Lekei Lekei Avosena. That's the same Elohim. So why does it single out Lekei Aviv Yitzchak? So Rashi quotes the famous Medrash that Chai Vodah Mikvod Avi Yosef Mikvod Avi Yosef. This is our famous Medrash that's discussed in Yeridea. In Siman Reish Mem, in Hilchot Kibud Avi Yaim, there is a machlokes achronim. Is there a din of kibud av on grandparents or not? So some say that some say no. The din of kibud av is only by parents, not by grandparents. Others say no. Don't you see from the Rashi? Chayvar mikvod av of Yosef mikvod zekeina. There is a din of kibud av even to the grandfather, that the din of kibud after the father is more than the din of kibud after the grandfather. It's not that there's no din at all. So that's a machlokes in achrenim, how to read this medrash that Rashi quoted. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, a famous tshuva, famous because it's quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva. People don't just read all the tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer, but this one is quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva in Hilchos Kaddish. There's a discussion whether there's a din, why does one say Kaddish after a parent dies? So that's based on the mitzvah of Kibud Aviyen. Kibud Aviyen means there's a din of Kibud and a din of Mora. Mora means respect, and Kibud means service, to service the parents. Machilo, Mashkeho, Manilo, Machito, Tocho. If they need assistance, and my father needs a lift, I have to drive him. If he needs a hand, a helping hand to walk, he wants me to go shopping for him, to go call on the telephone, make arrangements for something. So that's a din of kibbutz, to give physical service. And Mora goes on respect. So the Gemara says there's a din, Mechabda Mechai, Mechabda La Hamoisa. You have to give kibbutz even after the father died. How is that possible to have Mechabda La Hamoisa? Kibbutz means physical service. What, he carries the Oran. That's what it means, physical. You're going to carry the Oran when they bury the father. Usually you say La Hamisa is Mora. There is no kibbutz. So remember, Rav Soloveitchik is giving shiurim on that Gemara. So he says, "Lav dafke." It really means moira. Even though the Gemara says mechabda mechaim mechabda lachamos, doesn't mean mechabda. Means moira should be fulfilled even lachamos. I remember at that time on kiddushin on the side of the Gemara they have printed this rishon is called the Taisus Rid. Not the famous Taisus Rid from Italy. They're different. Somebody else that has on the side the Taisus Rid has an abridged form of the Gemara. So on that Gemara it says in the Gemara mechabda mechaim mechabda lachamos, and the Taisus Rid it says verbatim the same thing. So when he said this, that it's lav dafke, it doesn't mean mechabda. So some chacham, this was a shiur for the rabbinic alumni. It wasn't for the talmidim. So one of the chachamim started to scream out in the middle. But in the Tosfos Rid, it says mechabda mechaim mechabda lachamosa. So he says more on it. Says that in the Gemara also. What does it say more in the Tosfos Rid than it said in the Gemara? He thought that it was lav dafke, not to be taken literally. How is it possible to give physical service to the parent after they die? So the Beis Yosef in the end of Yeridei in Hilchos Avelos, when he quotes all the dinim of Nihu Gavelos, quotes from the Zohar that somebody once had a dream that someone had died and he was suffering in Gehenna. Strange punishment he was suffering in Gehenna, that's described in the Zohar, carrying bundles of logs. He was falling down carrying bundles of logs. And then the person was stressing and moaning and yawning, groaning, this person who died. Someone had a dream that this guy who died is moaning and groaning. And then they say, if my children would say Kaddish, then I would be spared a lot of suffering in Gehenna. So the whole institution of reciting Kaddish is based on that. So that's literally Mechabda Lahamoisa. That means you lighten the burden on the parent. They don't suffer as much in Gehenna. And if the children daven for an Amid, more important is to daven for an Amid, to be the Shlach Tzibah. Second best is to say Kaddish. It says in Shulchan Aruch that they quote the Rosh that reciting Kaddish is Bimkoim. If the child who's left is a Katan, he's not Bar Mitzvah, and he can't serve as the Shlach Tzibur because he's not the Bar Mitzvah, so you have the child say Kaddish. The more important is to daven for an Amid. The daven for an Amid says really you don't have to say Kaddish. And the Kaddish is a substitute, is a booby price, because you can't daven for an Amid, so you say Kaddish. Saying Kaddish means that you're the Shliach Tzibur for the Kaddish. If you're the real Shliach Tzibur, it's Avadah Gur. You should be the real Shliach Tzibur. I think so. There are other chilukim in other areas between the father's father and mother's father. The Gemara is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, the father's father has more of an obligation to teach the grandchildren Torah than the mother's father. With respect to what? But Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam, from the Gemara, that the father's father has to pay tuition. The mother's father is not obligated to pay tuition for the grandchildren. In Lakewood, they have a cheder where all the parents just learn. And none of the parents can pay tuition, so they send bills to the grandparents, and they have printed on the bottom of the bill this statement from the Shulchan Aruch that the father's father has to pay the tuition for the grandchildren. So the mother's father, they can't pay. The mother's father is not in the place to pay. So the Pesachei Tshuva in the end of Yeridei is the Mishnah Ein Vav, that's the siman about Kaddish. So the Pesach Teshuva there quotes from the Chassam Sofer, has this discussion. What if a grandparent died? And the children are not alive, or the children are daughters, and they're not going to say Kaddish, whatever. For some reason or another, there are no children around to say Kaddish. So is it meaningful that the grandchild should say Kaddish, considering the fact that the basis of the whole idea of Kaddish is Kibud Av V'Em, to lighten the burden of the parent who died, and the din is Mechabda Lachamos, Machilo, Mashkeo, Machito, Socho, to give physical help. Here it's not physical, but here it's that they shouldn't suffer so much in Gehenna. So is there an Indian, is there a Chiyuv for the grandchild to recite Kaddish for a grandparent? Is there a din of Kibud Av? So that's the discussion. It's in the Reish Mem, is there a Chiyuv Kibud Av? So the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva about that, that the Pesach Teshuva quotes in Shinayim Vav. He quotes the Gemara on the last daf in Sotah, where the Gemara tells a story that there was one Amora who became an orphan at a very young age, had no mother, no father. He was brought up by his grandparents. That was very nice of them. His grandparents raised the child. So at one later time, the grandfather asked his grandchild, "Could you give me a cup of coffee? I'd like to have a cup of coffee." So the kid looks him in the face and he says, "You're not my father, not Muhammad Kibbut Aviyan." Very, the story is very strange. He's not his father, but still he raised him for so many years. Very strange. So how do I understand the Gemara? We're not too sure. But the Chassam Sofer says, you see from that Gemara that there's no din of Kibbut Aviyan at all on grandparents. The Pashtus Gemara. So he says, Mikra Adin, the grandchild has no Kibbut Aviyan, and he's not Muhammad to say Kaddish, because the obligation to say Kaddish is only Mitam Kibbut Av. And the grandchild does not. He says if he'll say Kaddish, it'll assist the grandfather. Brom Mizaka Abba. The Gemara says any mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim that the children do are counted afarechem taschutzim for the parents, because the children are an extension of the parents. So the grandchildren are also an extension of the parents. The Gemara says in the end of Sanhedrin, Brom Mizaka Abba, Abba loy Mizaka Bro. That when Avshalom was killed, and he was going to suffer in Gehenna for all the averus that he did, for revolting against the father and everything else. So the father felt, David HaMelech felt very bad, and he wanted to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, wanted to do special things in order to be considered as a schus for Avshalom. So the Chacham told him it's not going to help. That Abba lo mizaka bro, the son dies, what the father does is not going to be considered a schus for the son, because the father is not an extension of the child. The child, bro, mizaka abba, what the child does after the father dies, that's counted as a schus. But what the parents do after the child dies, that will not be counted as a schus. Let's say a child dies, and the father wants to say Kaddish. It will not help the child. It's not going to help the child that is going to say Kaddish. The whole idea of Kaddish is a combination of two factors. Number one, that from Mizaka Abba, whatever mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim the children do or their descendants do, will be counted as a schus for their parents or their grandparents. And number two, there's a mitzvah of Kibbut Av V'Em to help out the parents whenever possible. So if it's a grandchild, the Chassam Sofer says, you'll have the concept of Barom Mizaka Abba. Whatever they'll do, they are extensions of the grandparents. Whatever mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim they'll do will be counted as a schus for the grandfather, but they're not believed to do it. So therefore he says, he writes in his Tshuva L'Halacha, if there's someone else has Yahrzeit today, someone else has a Chiyuv, so you shouldn't take away. The one who wants to take Kaddish for the grandfather shouldn't take away from anybody else. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, the practice would be that only one person said Kaddish, like only one person davens for another. So there would be a toss-up. Who's going to say the Kaddish, me or you? So if the other person is saying Kaddish, really a Chiyuv, and this person wants to take Kaddish for a grandparent. So he says, you're not mukhiyah to stay for a grandparent, it's only voluntary. If you'll say, it'll be helpful, it'll be meaningful, because the grandchild is also an extension of the grandfather. So the concept of the Brahma Zaka Abu will apply. But he's not mukhiyah, strictly speaking, he's not mukhiyah. I want to do with the Loshan HaMedesh here, it says, Chai Bar Mikvayd Avi, Yosef Mikvayd Avi Ima, Yosef Mikvayd Zekena. That's what it means, there's no chiyah. You have to be in the habit of all elders, all older people, but not specifically. The grandfather deserves respect like all older people deserve respect, but not specifically because of the fact that he's my grandfather. There's having no din of Kibbut Av by grandfather. The Netziv has an original interpretation, has a lot of original interpretations on all of Tanakh. He has original comments. So he suggests the pshat as follows, that Yitzchak, we learned Yitzchak was considered an oilat tmima, wasn't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Like a korban, if you take the korban out of the Azorah, is nifsal b'yotze. Or if you take it out of the Kachin Kalim, take it out of Yerushalayim, is nifsal b'yotze. So the whole mokum of Akrovus Korbanus was Eretz Yisrael. So Yitzchak, after the Akedah incident, was prohibited to leave Eretz Yisrael. It says, Vayirah Barz, there was a famine, and he thought he was going to leave to Mitzrayim the same as his father, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, no, you're an Ola Tamimi, not allowed to leave. So perhaps that, and it seems to suggest, perhaps that's the reason why it says, they went to Be'er Sheva, that was on the border, and he's about to leave Eretz Yisrael. And then, Yitzchak, what does it have to mention? What does it have to mention? What have to mention? Whose God it is? It's everybody's God. What's up? Is mentioned the name. So he said that it suggests maybe that's what it means. He was invoking, he says, Rabbi Shalom, now is the last chance. I'm on the border. Give me a break. I don't want to go to Mitzrayim. It's almost Eretz Mitzrayim. Ervas Haaretz, the most decadent place in the whole world. It was Ervas Haaretz, the most decadent location on the whole globe at that time. They were involved in Kishis and all kinds of Gilead rice and Shpichas Damim and everything under the sun. So he's bringing Karbonis, L'Kei Aviv Yitzchak, hoping and praying. You bring a Karbon and you Mispal Ta'Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Karbon helps your tefillah. He brought a carbon to enhance his tefillah. His tefillah was, this is the last chance, give me a break, I don't want to go to Chutzlar. So the Baruch Shalom said, sorry, go to Chutzlar and I'll watch over you. Altira Merdon. Obviously, Altira, he was petrified. So he didn't want to go. So the Baruch Shalom says, don't go, don't worry, I'll hold your hand. Altira Merdon Mitzrayimu. Anochi Eridimcha Mitzrayimu. I will go with you. Anochi Eridimcha Mitzrayimu is the concept that the Gemara refers to as Golus Ashchina. The Gemara has the expression in different places. There's a concept of Golas Hashchina. What does it mean, Golas Hashchina? So the simple level, Pashup Shad, Golas Hashchina, Derech HaPshad, means the following. There is a din that one who kills the Shege goes to Golas. So it says, V'nas alachas he'orim ho'el v'choy. He should run away to one of the Sheishari Miklot, and he will survive. What do you mean, v'choy? He will survive. The Goel Adam is not allowed to enter the Ori Miklot, not allowed to kill him there. If he's out of the Yoram Miklot, Goel Adam has the right, has the obligation to kill him. And he's in the Yoram Miklot, he's not allowed to. So the Gemara has an addition. Gemara in the second parak and Makkos has an additional level of interpretation on the word V'choy. He should live it up. He should enjoy himself. He should go to one of the Yoram Miklot, he should enjoy himself. What does it mean? It's bad enough that he's punished, that he has to go into Golus Yoram Miklot. Doesn't mean that he has to suffer miserably when he's in the Yoram Miklot. So the Gemara says, Dari Miklot, you have to have candy stores, you have to have drug stores, you have to have movie houses, kosher, you have to have libraries, you have to have all the nice things. It's not supposed to be a miserable place, it's supposed to be a nice location. So the Gemara says, and if the fellow who killed the Shegeg, who runs to Dari Miklot, is one who's interested in learning, then they have to provide for him a shiur. And if he likes Dafke, that Rebbe shiur, the Rebbe has to go visit him in the prison, in the Dari Miklot, and give him a shiur. Whatever he enjoys, you have to. If he enjoys candy shops, you got to make sure there's a candy shop. If he enjoys theater, you have symphony. You have to make sure that there's an orchestra. And if he enjoys learning, dafke from this rebbe, so the rebbe has to go. So that's the Gemara. The Talmud shegola maglin le'rabba yima. If a Talmud went into golus because he killed the Shergeg, so the rebbe is obligated to go in also to entertain the Talmud that he should be happy. So the Mefarshim say, the Mekubalim say that this is Pashup Shat in the Gemara. When the Gemara speaks about the concept of Golus Hashchina, so they say the Pashup Shat means that the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants to punish Bnei Yisrael because of their sin. So he sends them into Golus. But he didn't mean that they should, bad enough that they had to go into Golus. They're not in Eretz Yisrael. So they don't have the special Hashuas Hashchina. They don't have the special Hashgacha Pratis to the same degree that it was in Eretz Yisrael. Because there's a special Hashuas Hashchina in Eretz Yisrael more so than a Chutzlar. But it doesn't mean when they're in Chutzlar, they have to suffer miserably. No, they're going to have a good time in Chutzlar. They'll become rich. The Jews in every country, there were redifas, there were pogroms, there were holocausts, terrible things. But for many, many years, the Jews had a very good position in all the countries. They made a lot of money. They were high in high positions in the government. There wasn't that much outright anti-Semitism, derech klal, in the Chutzlar. So that's the meaning of the pasuk. That's the meaning of the idea. Of Golas Hashchina, that the Talmud Shagol and Maglin the Rabbi Yima, the Rebbeinu Shalom had to go into Golas with us to hold our hand and to watch over us, that it shouldn't feel miserable, that it should not be unbearable. We should enjoy the Golas. Under the circumstances, we should enjoy the Golas. Rashi quotes on the pasuk, "Hanochi alcho gam olo." What does it mean? He's going to die in it. Yaakov didn't leave Mitzrayim. "Hanochi alcho gam olo" means after you die, you will be buried. His tichalios nikbaboris. He promised Yaakov Avinu his body will be buried in Eretz Yisrael, because he didn't return to Eretz Yisrael while he was alive. That's why Yaakov Avinu, before he died, had the chutzpah to ask his children that they should bring his body back to Eretz Canaan, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised him now. "Hanochi alcho gam olo." Why does it say gam? What is Gam Rabbi? So the Medrash says Gam Rabbi is that the Atzomis of all of the Shvatim went with him. So it's name because that's on the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's how the Medrash has Rashi quotes them in a different passage. When Yosef tells the brothers, "Boko Yipskar Lukim Eschem Alisim Satsmoisam Yizeh Itchem." So it says, "Alisim Satsmoisam Yizeh Itchem." Itchem means together with your bones. Because they're going to be a long time in Mitzrayim. It's not that the brothers are going to be alive at the time of Yitzchak's Mitzrayim. They're all going to die. All the brothers are going to die. So he said, "Alisim Satsmoisam Yizeh Itchem." My bones should go with your bones. We'll all go together to Eretz Yisrael. So we're all buried. All the Shvatim are buried in Eretz Yisrael. So the Yerushalmi has it on this pasuk. And Ochi Alcho Gam Olo. The Gam is Lerabbis, the bones of all of the other Shvatim. Then the pasuk lists off all the Shivim Nefesh who went down to Mitzrayim, and amongst them is this strange person, Shaul ben Achmanis. Where did he come in over here? So Rashi quotes from the Bereshis Rabbah that the Knanis is Dino Shinivolo L'Knaini. Knanis wasn't an adopted child. Shaul ben Achmanis was Shaul ben Dino. Why is he called Knan? Why is she referred to as Knan? Because she was Nivolo L'Knan. And why is it listed B'nai Shimon? What does that do with Shimon? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that she refused when Shimon and Levi were wiping out the whole city Shechem. Dina refused to leave. She figured where she got, who's going to want to marry her? How she's going to get a shidduch? She was living with a goy. She was living with Shechem ben Hamor. Who's going to want to marry her? So she refused to leave. Kishahogu Shechem lahoisa Dina rotzol osteis atshenish b'lo Shimon. So Shimon was one of two brothers who was wiping out the city. So he swore to her, Sheyiso Eno. He swore that he was going to marry her. So he married his sister. Shimon married his sister Dina, and they had a baby, Shaul. That's Shaul ben Achmanis. So the Mefarshim on the Medrash, on the Rashi, and on the Medrash, they all asked the question: Shimon married his sister. Isn't that a little wild? Why did he marry his sister? So the Bartanura has a commentary on Pirush Rashi Alater that's called Amar Noko. Amanoka means Tzemanoki. It's an expression that appears in Sefer Daniel. When Daniel had the vision of the Ribon Shalom as an old man with long white hair and with a white talus, he was wearing a white talus, so it says that Sari Kitlag Chiver, the hair was white as snow, like Sheleg, Kitlag Chiver, and the garment was Ka'amanoka, was a white, clean Tzemer, Amanoka. So the Bartanura calls his Pirish and Rashi Amanok. He has a running commentary on all the Pirish Rashi. So he says over here, he thinks that it's a misprint. He says instead of Sheyisena, it should be Sheyasiena. That she insisted that Shimon should get her a shidduch, not that Shimon should marry her. Shimon got her a shidduch. So this child, Shaul ben Achmanis, is considered, he was like the, he was an uncle. Shimon was an uncle, but he was sort of the godfather, whatever. He was more connected with this nephew than all the other uncles because he was the one who read the shidduch to Dina. He got her a husband the second time. That's what he says. But the other Mephoreshim assume that the Girsa is the way it says. She said that he's going to marry her. So yes, it doesn't make any sense. So here the Achrayim all quote from the Maharal Prague, and it says to Guraria, he has two suggestions over here. So the first suggestion, they're both wild. Maharal Prague is a very original thinker. So the first suggestion is that the Gershin is Gark to cut in Shanelo Dami. That the Ovid Kimo Kalatara Kula does make... To be Mekayim Kalatar Kula, if you're not obligated, it doesn't make any sense. So the answer is, they volunteered to be Mekayim Kalatar Kula because they were Megayer. So once you're Megayer, so then you say, Gershon is Gark Kakot and Shinol Dami, so the brother is permitted to marry the sister. The Gemara says that Minatora, a Ger, is permitted to marry his sister because Kakot and Shinol Dami, but the Gemara says, Midirabbanon, it's not allowed. The Rabbanan is not permissible. And the Gemara says that Kim Rabban Avinu Kalatar Kula Achulay Nitra Afila Erev. Afilo Erve Tafshilin, even fulfilled the Din Rabbanan. So the Maharal Prague's first answer didn't fully answer the question. even if you invoke the din of Gersh and Isgar Kot and Shinala Dom, it's a minafer, it's muta to marry his sister, but the Rabbanon is not permissible. So why wasn't he concerned about the din of the Rabbanon? It's a difficult shot.
And the Rabbanon is only because the guy
should have more of it. It's not that it's none, but that's it. Okay. There's a way to answer the kash. Good? Okay. Then the Maral has another. It's questionable. They always say, the Maral goes out and he says, and at the time of Matan Torah, you're also going to say, Gershon is God, Kot and Shinal Dam. So he says, no. At the time of Matan Torah, that's the Farish and the Gemara, that you don't take Kot and Shinal Dam. But at this occasion, you did. So he questions, why is the difference? So he says, this Geras was Midas. The Geras of Harsina was the Geras Bal Korcha, Kof Alein Har Kegigas. And the Geras Bal Korcha, you don't apply the principle of Kot and Shinal Dam. Why not? It's very unclear what the Maral is driving at. But then the second answer the Maral gives, that's already easier to understand. Second suggestion he gives is that the Ovis volunteered to keep Kala Tarkul Ashlein Nitna only applies with respect to the mitzvahs Asei, not with respect to mitzvahs Lo Yisrael, because the concept of Eina Mitzvah V'Yoyisa doesn't make sense on a Lo Yisrael. On an Esther, you have a Kiyum, you get Schar, you did something, you accomplished something, it has a positive effect. A Lo Yisrael say, if you're not allowed to do it, you can do it, so then it's an Aver. If you're allowed to do it, Is mutter. What's the problem? Why should you volunteer to not to violate a lois esrei if you're not bound? If there's no requirement to follow that. So this, the Maral already gives a longer arichas on. And he says, with this, he knows, that he understands the answer to Tosfos Kash. Tosfos in Brachos, and in the end of Nida, is bothered with the Kash in second parak in Brachos. Tosfos has a Kash. How come the Gemara says you're permitted to put on a beged shel shatz and san a meis? The Tachrichim, because Mason Chavshim, Mason are not obligated to keep any mitzvahs. So you can even dress them up with a Shatnes like Tachrichim. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, if you put on Tachrichim on the mace that have four corners, you're obligated to put on tzitzis, because Loig L'Rosh Cheref Oseyum. What do you have to put on tzitzis? But the Mason are Chavshim. He's wearing Shatnes, and you have to put on tzitzis on the Shatnes. Manashach. Do you want to try to make it look like the mace is keeping mitzvahs? So don't put on a beged of shatnas. And if you don't care about the shatnas, so why do you all of a sudden care about tzitzis? So that's what the Maral Prague suggests as an answer over here. He says, because the mace might take a potter from everything, but still the Torah saying to the yosef will be a nice idea to dress them up with tzitzis, but the whole concept of rain to the yosef has no application whatsoever when it comes to averus. So shatnas is an issa. There's no mitzvah to wear non-shatnas. It's an averus to wear shatnas. So mace ma'chavshim. So there's no Indian at all to volunteer. There is a big group of Rishonim, half of the Rishonim hold that the din of chinuch, that parents have a din of chinuch on children, is only a mitzvah sesei, not a mitzvah lois sesei. There's no din of chinuch on lois sesei. I says you have to be mechanach the children to fast on Yom Kippur. That's a kiyum essay also. It's not just that eating on Yom Kippur is an avera. Fasting on Yom Kippur, the Rambam writes, there is a kiyum mitzvah sesei. Whoever fasts on Yom Kippur is in fulfillment of the Nisimus Nafshasechem, is a mitzvah, Nefesh Shalos Tzun, and Nichusah is an Aveir, but it's also one who fasts on Yom Kippur is in fulfillment of a mitzvah. So here of the Rishonim hold like that, that Chinuch is only a mitzvah sesh and not a mitzvah sesh. I say, the idea of Chinuch is that the kid is Eina Mitzvah, but if the kid will volunteer to do the mitzvah sesh, there'll be a kiyum, Eina Mitzvah V'yaseh, like if a woman volunteers to shake a lulav or to listen to tzkiyus. So there is a kiyum, but Torah Seinu Mitzvah V'yoshu. So every cotton who will volunteer will have a kiyum on mitzvah. But volunteering only makes sense on mitzvah sesei, not on lois sesei. And the idea of chinuch is that everybody should see to it that the kid, that the child should volunteer the mitzvah. It's not to train the child in mitzvah. If it's to train them for later, then you should have to train them equally on lois sesei and on essay. But this group of Rishonim hold that that's not. The other Rishonim disagree. They say, no, the mitzvah of chinuch is to train the child, and therefore it applies equally to mitzvah sesei and mitzvah lois sesei. In the first pasuk in Shishi starts off as Yehuda Shalach Lefanav Al Yosef Ahoros Lefanav Goshna. So the Medrash saw in the word Lahoros the word Horo'ah, the Paskin. Shemisham Teitzi Horo'ah. that Yaakov Avinu sent Yehuda first to establish a Misakin law based Talmud, to establish a yeshiva, Shemisham Teitzei Hayrod, they should be able to pass Mishailas properly. Why do they have to have a yeshiva before they even came? To prepare the yeshiva. That's very important. That was the mistake that the original Jews made when they came to America. They were busy with they made shuls, made a lot of shuls. Someone was telling me just recently that when he lived on the east side as a child, this person was up 65 years old, he was late 60, said when he was a child on the east side growing up, I think it said there were 130 shuls or something on the east side, there were only two yeshivas. There should have been so many more yeshivas. If you don't have yeshivas, then you lose the whole future for the next generation. So that's perhaps Alpi Pashtus what the Kavon is, that the Medrash is insisting that you should first make yeshivas for the children to secure the future of the Klal Yisrael. But if the Medrash seems to be harping on a different aspect though, Shemisham takes a hera about Pesach, Lahoris Lefanos, the Paschal Shailus, that's not so much Jewish education being more important than synagogues. Sounds as if they're bringing out a different point. So perhaps what's involved is another Nakuda, that in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Canaan, they had already developed a certain style of living. They worked out more or less all the Shailas. How do you ben shlich, and how do you keep Shabbos, and how do you keep Kashrus, and how do you keep Taras HaMashpoche, here's a mitzvah, and here's a kosher bakery. They worked out everything. When you move to a different location, it's going to be a whole different set of circumstances, and the Shailas may be totally different. So perhaps that's what it means. He established the Yeshiva Shemisham Teitzu Heroah, they should tasken over all the old Shailas. Not that the dinim changed, but the circumstances changed. When you move to a different country, you have totally different circumstances. All the Jews who came to Eretz Israel before the Second World War, even those who were strictly kosher in Europe, but Hafrashas Truma, they never heard of. Hafrashas Truma. Orla. Whoever heard of Orla? Orla. Safek Orla B'chuklos Mutter. So the Jews who had farms, they had trees, they had bushes, they didn't know there was a din of Orla. A Jew lived in a city in Europe and never had any trees, never heard of the din of Orla. In Eretz Yisrael, Safek Orla in Eretz Yisrael is Osir. Klai Akerim. Who have to worry about Klai Akerim in Europe? Safek Klai Akerim is Mutter. So you go to the store and you buy grain, you don't have to worry about Klai Akerim. And Eretz Yisrael could be a grain is Klai Akerim. You can't buy grapes. Maybe the grapes are Klai Akerim. So you have to make sure that everything is under Hashgacha. So many Jews who were religious in Europe, they were Shomer Mitzvahs in Europe. Again, Eretz Yisrael, it was a whole new ballgame, a whole new section of Shulchan Aruch that they never heard of. And here is Paket, they're going from Eretz Canaan to Eretz Mitzvah. It's going to be a whole new set of whoever heard this, they never had these kind of theaters. They had all kinds of different Yetzirahs they had in Mitzrayim from what they had in Eretz Canaan. So they had to work out all the Shailas anew. All the Shailas had to be Paskin anew. Toward the end of his life, the Shagas Aryeh was appointed the rabbi in Metz, that's a city in France. There's still a Jewish community, Arayoy Mazen. They're very proud of the fact that the Shagas Aryeh was the rabbi there. That's not too much doing here today. But they don't have anybody, no major Talmid Chacham like the Shagas Aryeh. But they're very proud of the fact that Shagas Aryeh used to be the rabbi there. So he was appointed the rabbi at the age of 70. And he understood that the Balabatim were grumbling. What do they take such an old rabbi for? Another couple of years, they'll have to appoint another rabbi. So the story goes that the first Shabbos that he held at Rosh was Vayigash, and he spoke on the Parsha. So it says that Paro asks, when he met Yaakov Avinu, so he looked so old. So he asked, Kama Yimei Shnei Chayecha? What are you, 500 years old? He looked like he had come from centuries ago. He looked ancient. So he says, I'm not really that old, I'm much younger. But I went through I had a lot of Agmas Nefesh in my life. That's why I look like I'm old. So what was the whole conversation? Okay, that's where Rashi interprets. He looked like he was 500 years old. And he says, no, I'm not that old, but I look old. And then he adds on, so that we understand. He says how old he is. 130 years old. Miyat v'roim hoyim eshnei chayai. I had a lot of bitterness, that's why I look older. And then he has another phrase. V'lei hisigus yimei shnei chayai v'asai v'mei migurehim. I didn't live as long as my father or my grandfather. Why did he have to add that comment? So the Shagas Aryeh said Adrasha, so he said that when Yaakov Avinu came, so right away the Nile rose, and it irrigated all the fields, and everything was able to grow, and that was the end of the curse. The 2 years of famine ended, and that was it. The other 5 years never came. So Paro realized that this is Givaldic. There isn't going to be any more famine. But this guy looked so old. He may die in the next 7 years, in the next 5 years. So he's not going to have the blessing anymore. So he said, "Old man, how old are you?" So he's going to die. He said, "Don't worry, I didn't come anywhere near my father. I'm going to live for a long time after. I have many years to go. I look very old. You're going to have the bracha. And even after I die," he gave him a bracha, "that the Nile should rise by Yivarach Yaakov as Paro." So the Chazal say, Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he gave my bracha, "Sheyala hanilus liraglov." Even if I die, the bracha is that you should be able to do the sun. Well, you'll walk to the Nile, so then the river will come up. So that's what the Shagasai promised the Balabatim. He said, "I look ancient, I'm 70 years old. Don't worry, I'll be here for 20 years. And they say that he died at the age of 90. He lasted till the age of 90. They say he would have lived longer also, but a whole bookcase fell on top of him, and he got crushed under the Sfarim, and he got killed. And then when they pulled him out, when they heard the crash and they pulled him out, so he said, the Lavush killed him. He said, "These are all the Sfarim that he always disagreed with, with Chutzpah." And he says, "Now they all jumped him. They all ganged together and they jumped him, and they all attacked him." And he said, as he was laying there under the bookcase, he asked Mechila from each one, "Well, Michael, except for the Lavush." Because the Lavush, he had been Mavazim more than anybody else, because perhaps there's more to attack in the Lavush than most others found. The Lavush has safe on Shulchan Aruch, and he always explains the dinim, and he always explains wrong. He didn't go back to the Gemara. So the Shachan Taz always attacked the Lavush. Everything he says is not what it says in the Gemara. So the Shabbosai used to attack him also. So he says, they all were Meichel except for the Lavush. He says, "I'm going to die now because of the Lavush." Anyway, so they say that was the first drasha that he gave in the shul, that he explained to the Balabatim that he'll be around for 20 years. Like Yankov explained to Par, "Don't worry, I'm going to be around for a long time. And even after I die, don't worry, you'll be able to resolve the problem yourself." I think my cousin, Professor Levine, has in one of his Sfarim on economics a comment on the pasuk in today's Sedra. How come he only took 20% tax? He says that the people kept Arba HaYodos, they kept 4/5, and only 1/5 went to Paro. He could have taken the reverse. He could have taken 80% tax, and he could have only left them. He would have even been richer. The government would have been richer. So he says, I think my cousin has in a sefer, that Paro understood the secret of capitalism, that if the people have gain, if you're going to make revach, so then you'll make more. We had a Gemara. That we just learned the other day. He's in agreement that Balasad gives the Oris 1/3 instead of 1/4 if he's going to water the field 4 times instead of 3 times. Why? Because if you water it 4 times, then it's going to be 200 bushels. So I'd rather have 2/3 of 200 bushels than have 3/4 of 100 bushels. If you only water the field, but that's over here also. If the people know, that's the secret of success of capitalism as opposed to communism. Under the communists, it doesn't make a difference whether you work hard or you don't work hard. You get the same miserable garnish. You get nothing. So there's no incentive to work well. And people take, they said for years and years, people were taking extended weekends, and they were getting drunk on the job, and they were doing everything slow. When you have a slave society, so the slaves are not maviach a penny, so they don't work hard. Why should they work hard? There's no incentive. But over here, if you live in a capitalistic country, so whatever profit you make, it's going to be in your pocket. You'll be able to buy yourself another home. You'll be able to buy yourself a yacht. You'll be able to buy yourself another automobile. You'll be able to buy yourself a television, whatever. So there's an incentive to make more money. So that's to work harder. So that's why he encouraged the people. He said to the people, "You can have 80% of your profit. Just give the government 20% taxes. That's all." So with this encouragement, they worked harder, and the government made more money on the taxes. Plus, it has very strange that the galochim didn't have to pay tax. Rakad masakonim lo kono ki chot lakonim yes paro. They didn't have to pay any tax at all. Clergy, the Gemara says, Tamei Chacham don't have to pay tax. not exactly the same. What's this all about? How come there was such a rule? So Rishonim say different interpretations why. So the Shalot quotes in the Rishonim, what we had, the Balei HaTosfos quotes such a medrash that when Yosef, and last week said, when Yosef ran away from Eishes Potiphar, so it says that she tried to stop him from running away, so she grabbed hold of his beged, and it tore, and then he ran away, so the beged was ripped. So then there was a whole court case later when the husband came home, Potiphar came home, so she said that he attacked her, and he said that she attacked him, so they went to court. So the judges and the court were galochim. Some of the other people were illiterate. So many generations by the goyim. The Hamonam was illiterate. The only ones who knew how to read and write were the galochim. That's why it's called ksav galochis. In Shulchan Aruch, they call secular handwriting. They call it ksav galochis, the script that the galochim used, because the Hamonam didn't know how to write. So the Medrash says when they had the court case, so Yosef said his version of the story and she said her version of the story. So the galochim decided amongst themselves, how will they know who's telling the truth? They're going to see where is the beged ripped. If it's ripped in the top of the neck, in the back, Yosef's beged is ripped in the top. So obviously his version of the story is correct. So he was running away and she ripped. But if he was attacking her and then she ripped it to repel him, so then it's going to be ripped in the front. He didn't attack her from behind. He attacked her facing her, upon and connected upon. So they took the garment and it was ripped in the back. So they passed in favor of Yosef. So that's what the Rishonim say over here. Out of HaKoros HaTayiv, even though they were Galochim, out of HaKoros HaTayiv to the Galochim, who passed in a Mishpat Tzedek, so he decided that they don't have to pay any tax. That's the Shaila. The Pasuk, the Rishonim already is, but the Pasuk doesn't sound like that. The Pasuk sounds like this was, Kichok Lakonim Me'eif Paro. Paro. It sounds like it was Paro's idea that the ministers don't have to pay tax. It doesn't sound like it was Yosef's idea. Unless it was really Yosef's idea and he told Paro to pass the law and Paro signed it. That's where the Balei HaTosfos learn, I guess. But others suggest that Rav Soloveitchik once said over another pshat, I don't know exactly whose interpretation, whose suggestion this is, that Paro, that Yosef wants to set up a system of clergy, of respect for the clergy, that they're puter from paying taxes, because he knew that there was going to be Geyazarach Barashalahem Bavadamino Osmabameyashona. He knew that Bnei Yisrael, this was going to be the Golus that's going to fulfill the Haftacha by the Bris Ben Absor. So he wanted, even though the Jews have to be Avodim in the Golus, but Shevet Levi was free. They want them to know that there's such a concept. So he instilled, first he instilled the concept that there's such a thing as a class of ministers. And the ministers don't have to pay any taxes. You have to treat them nicely. So later, when they made the Jews into Avodim, so the whole Shevet Levi said, we're the ministers of the Jewish people. You have to treat us with respect. So that paved the way for what happened in the later generation. That's how Moshe and Aaron are floating around at free. They're like free people in the beginning of Chumash Mos. So Rashi says, because Shevet Levi was never Tachas Shibud Mitzrayim. They were always free to roam around. It wouldn't have been any gula. The gula wouldn't have been possible if the Shevet Levi would be working hard like everybody else. It wouldn't be free to float around like that. Years ago, there was a senator by the name of McCarthy. And he had a bug in his head that we have to be very concerned about. Well, the country was concerned about communism at that time, but he was more concerned than everybody else. Like Meshuggah L'Davarach said, they had McCarthy hearings. They had he was the head of a Senate subcommittee, I think, on American activities. I already forgot the whole thing. People used to watch on television. I remember as a little boy, I used to watch on television all the time. The un-American activity Senate subcommittee. With the hearings, it was a difficult parsha in the history of the American country. So at that time, everybody was mastering on everybody else. Whoever was a communist and every other person, if you ever looked at a communist, if you ever went to a meeting, if you had Havamin, if you ever had a dream to think about communism, God master you to the government would be a fellow. So there used to be big debates at that time. What do you do if a fellow is married and it finds out that his wife is a communist? She's spying for the Russians. Does he hand her over, does he master her over to the government? Or no, his love for his wife and his obligation to take care of his wife takes precedence over his love for his country. So he used to have public debates, public tulpulim about this. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik commented, not specifically about that issue. He held that everybody understood that the whole McCarthy was such a guzma, the whole era was such an exaggeration of everything. But he commented a little bit in connection with that, that the Chazal had one Tana is of the opinion in Sanhedrin that Ben Sora and Mora is such a far-fetched, there's so many conditions that are required in order to have the mitzvah of Ben Sora and Mora. The parents have to have this approximately the same height and the same weight approximately and have to look the same and their voices have to be approximately the same. It's impossible. How can it be? A man has a woman's voice. A woman has a man's voice, Mustama, and they're not Roy Lahoylid. How can it be that it's the same? So the Gemara says, Ben Sora and Mora, it cannot be. It was written in order to teach us a moral or an ethical lesson. What's the moral ethical lesson? So Rav Soloveitchik said, that's what it means. That's the moral ethical lesson. That if you have a son who's a juvenile delinquent, and you, of course, parents love their children, what would they do for their children? But the question is, should you give him over to the police that they should put him behind bars and they shouldn't go kill other people? Or should you say, no, that's my love for my child comes first? They said, no, that's what the Torah teaches you. You give him over to the police. Not necessarily paskini on the McCarthy case to give over a spouse or a child to the government, but that was the idea behind it. It is required by the Torah law that a person should be mekarev of his relatives. He should love. It says v'hapta l'racha kamoicha, but it doesn't apply to everybody equally. You might say v'hapta l'racha kamoicha applies to one's wife. That a husband and wife have to love each other. I says v'hapta l'racha. After that, it goes on all of Klal Yisrael, but it means you have to love some people more so than other people. The person has to love his spouse more than other people, then love your children more than everybody else, and neighbors and relatives and so on. It doesn't mean that you have to love everybody equally. There's a mitzvah we have to the rachag and everybody, but not to the same extent. So the question is, let's say, one loves his children, but he sees his children are doing wrong. They're not keeping mitzvahs, so he just leave it like that. But some people will leave it like that. Some people love their children so much that the children do things wrong, so they'll try to encourage everybody else to do the same to their children, so their children won't stand out. I see it in yeshiva all the time. I see it in the neighborhood all the time. If you just keep your eyes open, you see, let's say, parents who are religious, their children are religious, but the children have one quirk. They do one little thing wrong, so the parents will encourage everybody else to do the same avla. All the children should do the same, so it won't be so noticeable that their child is doing wrong. That's terrible. If you can't straighten out your child, but you don't mekalkel the whole neighborhood, you're not mekalkel the whole yeshiva, you tell your children, you don't have to kill him, you don't have to choke him. You say, I don't approve of what you're doing. Okay? You're leaving my home, but I don't like the way you dress, or I don't like the way you speak. I don't know, you shouldn't wear this kind of clothing, or you shouldn't speak like that. If you can't be mashpia on them, so in a safmona patre. But don't get everybody else to do the same way in order that your child shouldn't stand out, that it shouldn't be a bizoyin for you. There is an inyan to have special love for members of the family, but the love should be part of shmiras hamitzvahs. Love should be part of the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's a conflict between the love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the love towards members of the family, so there's no question which takes precedence. The love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu supposed to take precedence. And that's what the Meforshim interpret over here. It says that when Yaakov Avinu met Yosef after having not seen him for so many years, so it says that that Yosef is kissing and hugging the father, and Yaakov is not doing anything. So the Chazal say he was busy saying Krishna. Busy saying Krishna. He could have said he's traveling so long on the Agola. So say Krishna before. You know that you're approaching the city. You know that you're soon going to see your son. He couldn't figure it out. To daven before, what? Just now, Zvatikin. So when did Yosef say Krishna? Obviously, Yosef said Krishna before or after. So why did Yaakov Avinu say Krishna over here? So that's what the Meforshim all saying. No, he wasn't saying the regular Krishna. He already davened. When he saw his son, he was so overwhelmed with love for his son. Imagine a father that was the favorite son from all the children, and he used to learn with him and everything. He was the Ben Zikun, and he transmitted the whole Chokhmah Sotera to his son. And he was missing for so many years. Of course the father was overwhelmed with love now that he sees the son. So the father realized, Yaakov Avinu realized that the love that he has for his son is now becoming so great, he's so overwhelmed with love, he sees that it's no longer within the mizgeret, within the reasonable mizgeret of love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like an independent thing, which is not supposed to be. Love towards a spouse, a love towards family members, a love towards friends and neighbors, is supposed to be within the framework of of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Pasuk says you have to ask Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart. So if you love God with all of your heart, where is there room to love anybody else? And the answer is not a stereo. Chover ani l'chol asher yireyucha. A Pasuk in Tehillim. I love all the people. I love the members of my family. They're also religious. I love the neighbors. I love them also. They all have Tzelemokim. Everything fits in as a chelik of my love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a conflict. But if it's going to be something independent, if a person is going to have love for his spouse or for his relatives or for his friends independently of his love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it can lead to all kinds of averis. A cover up on the averis that they're doing. He made them be mekalkel the whole neighborhood. Made them be mekalkel the whole yeshiva because of the love for his children, the love for his spouse. So see to it that everybody does wrong in order that his wife or his children shouldn't stand up. So that's what some of Farshim suggests is the pshat. He said Kriya Shema, Yaakov Avinu. He said Kriya Shema at that time to reinforce within himself. You have to ask Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. That his love for Yosef should not be an independent love; it should be part of his love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think the Chavis Alvavi says the main part. Chavis Alvavi says that one should love his members of the family. Not with an independent love, but rather as a chelik of the love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Based on the pasuk, we have to say Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. The big maifas that Yosef was able to accomplish, that he was in such a hostile environment and he remained observant, that's what the father was on his spoil about. That's the maifas that Klal Yisrael is now in the yeshivas, all the yeshivas and chutzlars, people are succeeding to do. To some extent or another. Not everybody is succeeding 100%. It would be better if we would be back in Eretz Yisrael with a Hashvas Hashkina there, and we wouldn't have to do such kunsten. But Eretz Yisrael is not so easy either. We all follow in the derech of Yosef HaTzadik to live in such a hostile environment. It's a tremendous mistake. Just in connection, maybe I'll close with one more comment. In connection with that distinction that the Maharal Miprag made between Mitzvah Seh and Mitzvah Gleisa, I say, the Meshech Chochma and Parshas Bo has a very important comment. The Pasuk says, "Shamarta Sechuka Hazos L'Mayadam Yomim Yomim." So the Mechil the comment, the Mohar Zemachlekes Atanoim, whether Chuka Hazos refers to Tzilin or Chuka Hazos refers to Korban Pesach. Again. It's not from the Chamish Mikrosh and Machreya. It's not that there's a suffix where it falls in the pasuk. It's just a machlokes what the word Chukazos is alluding to. Is it alluding like Vameis? Does it allude to the Father? Does it allude to the Son? But there's a machlokes at Tanakh. All of Shas has machlokes on almost every other pasuk in Tanakh. What the word is alluding to. So the Mechilta has a comment on the assumption that Vashamarta Chukazos refers to Chukazat Filin. So the Shamarta, the Mechilta says, means you should be bodied to tefillin. You should check the tefillin. Pashup shad, you should wear tefillin. Miyamim yamim, a daily, on a daily basis. Miyamim v'loikol yamim, you don't wear tefillin balayla, you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. But the Pashup shad, the Shamarta means you should lay tefillin. So the Mechilta has an additional level of interpretation of Shamarta, you should be bodied to tefillin. And this pasuk is the basis of the idea, sounds like it's a din deraisa, that you have to be bodied to tefillin in your mezuzah from time to time. So in Yeridaya there's a din that sometimes you have to check the vegetables for bugs to see. Sometimes you have to, sometimes you don't have to. Or sometimes you have to check the suit for shatnas to see if it has shatnas. Sometimes you don't have to, sometimes you don't have to. So what's the rule? So the Ramban in the beginning of Chulin, the first Nachamis in Chulin, develops the whole concept. Whenever it's a miut hamotzui, then l'chatzim you have to have bedikim. Whenever it's a miut sheinamotzui, then you don't need bedikim. Miut HaMotzei is a certain percentage. What percentage is considered a Miut HaMotzei? And the Mishkan Nes Yankim says 10%. I was told Rabbi Yashiv, one of the Mukarovim to Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Efrati, sent a letter to the OU. He writes that Rabbi Yashiv disagrees with the Mishkan Nes Yankim. He thinks that it's 7.5%. They argue how to read a certain Gemara, Chulin, and Perikei L'Treifa. He claims 7.5%. Usually people assume, like the Mishkan Nes Yankim, that it's 10%. Less than 10%, that's Miut HaMotzei. Less than 10% chance that you're going to be eating a bug or doing an avera, then Iker Adin, you don't have to be boidic at all. You have a right to rely on the Ruba de Leisa Kama. So the question is, this concept of being boidic, Echadev Shel Mitzvot Patkin of Leisam Chinan Aruba of Leisam Chinan Achazok, is that the right or is that the Rabbanon? So the Ramban writes Beferish, it's only the Rabbanim. Ramban writes Beferish, it's only the Rabbanim. So some argue, how can it be the Rabbanim? But isn't that what the Mechilta says? You have to check your mezuzah from time to time to make sure that it's still kosher, that it didn't become possible. So that means you don't rely on the Chazaka that it was kosher 5 years ago, you assume it's still kosher. Every 3-4 years you got to check the mezuzah. So isn't that the, it does not show that this is a din d'oraisa. So the Neshe Chochma and Parshas Bo are not posuk. The Shemata, the Chukosos, the Madam, Yamin Yamima wants to distinguish. He has this whole shtickle that the Maharami Prague says. That the Mason with the Shatnas, with the Tzitzis, he didn't realize that the Maharami Prague wrote it. He wrote it all on his own, the same Baratera. And then he suggests maybe this explains the difference between Bedikas HaMezuzah as opposed to Bedikas Toiloim, or Bedikas Godin for Shatnas and so on. So he says, when it comes to a loisa essay, if a person relies on the roiver, on the chazakah, and it turns out that it was wrong, that it was really trace, or that he really did an avera, so it's only Rachmana Patre. So what? So the world doesn't come to an end. The Torah says you have a right to rely on the roiver, on the chazakah. And if it's incorrect, so it's an honest. So there's no avera. The avera won't be counted as an avera. But when it comes to a mitzvah essay, like tzilin or like mezuzah, fine, you'll rely on the roi of the chazaka. And if it turns out that you were wrong, it'll come out that you didn't fulfill a mitzvah. You didn't fulfill a mitzvah, so you say, oh, it's Rahmana Patre. Fine, Patre, but self to self, you'll still be missing the mitzvah. So by mitzvahs, you have to make sure that you do the mitzvah by avera. As long as there's no avera, what do you have to volunteer the Torah? Ain't a mitzvah, yes, it's a check to make sure. If the Allah says you have a right to rely on the roi of the chazaka, so you rely. If it turned out that it was wrong, it was awesome. But sign is Rahmana Patre, so it's not an avera. It doesn't count. You didn't do anything wrong. But in mitzvahs, you want not just that you shouldn't do anything wrong. You should do the right thing. You should fulfill the mitzvah. He says, perhaps that's the explanation. Some Rishonim, he writes there in the Meshech Chochma, the Rishonim have a machlokes, what does it mean, shmura matzah? So some say that it means atzir l'shmo, and some say shima mechimut. So he asks, if it's shima mechimut, why is it only to the Seder night? You should need shima mechimut all of Pesach. So the Rambam Taka says that l'chatzchili need shmura matzah all the pesach. But if the Shas Avchak, the Rambam says you only need for the kazay shal mitzvah. The Rambam also writes like that. It's more important to ask why. If the Rambam writes that the definition of shmura means shima mechimut, so shima mechimut is a din all 7 days. Why is it mom miyuchad the first night? So he says that's the difference. The Meshech Chochma says because the first night is a mitzvah saseh. So if it'll turn out that it's chametz, so you'll be left without a mitzvah saseh. So fine, you'll have a teretz in the Beis Shemayla. Oynas Rachmana Patre. Oynas Hain. Oynas Morbin. But sof kol sof, you will be left without the mitzvah. But all of Pesach is not a mitzvah saseh. It's an averit eat chometz. If it'll turn out that it was chometz by accident, it was chometz, and you were relying on the ruba de leis to come on, that it's not chometz. Oynas Rachmana Patre. So the aver is not counted as an aver. That's his suggestion. That's along the lines of the Maharami Prague on today's Sunday.
Like, you should have a shimming walking across the top of the